Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Man, I see the babies here. Hey, man, little Scarlett. Whoo, she's a beauty. Brother, I tell you what. You make beautiful children together. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Keep it up. Amen. My sister from South Carolina, she said, good night. How many kids you having? I said, as many as we can get. Amen. And we're happy for them. We praise God. Amen. My wife and I had a baby the other day. Amen. It's called Spike. How'd you name a boy named Spike? He was mad at me this morning. Oh, I put him in a kennel. Wouldn't that be fun to do that once in a while? He's mad at me. Oh, my goodness. And I'm going to bring him over to introduce him to Sheldon. What's your other dog's name? Jack. Jack and Sheldon. Amen. They're about the same size. Amen. Yeah, they're a cute little dog. Amen. I call it a rat. But anyway, my wife likes him, and I kind of like him. He thinks I'm okay, I guess, as long as I don't put him in that kennel. So what do you do with him tonight? And let put him in the kennel, and I'm praying my house is okay when I get home. Amen. You people that own dogs, you're laughing at me, aren't you? I felt so bad for him. I took him to Golden Corral, didn't bring him in, but I took him to Golden Corral, put him in the car. I felt so bad, I put him in that kennel. I'd like putting him in jail, man. I'll tell you what, incarcerating that poor little thing. He didn't do nothing to nobody. I think that whoever had the little guy before, he kept him in the kennel awful lot. I think that's his problem, so we're going to find out. He was happy with me, loved me. I noticed, I read an article on psychology the other day. A man was trying his hardest to see the difference between love of a dog and love of a wife. And he locked his dog in his one car and locked his wife in the other car trunk. He was trying to do an experiment. The experiment failed, as you can imagine. The dog loved him, the wife, but divorced him. Amen. All right. John chapter 1. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Oh, my goodness. You find out how much your wife loves you. Amen. Just keep bringing her home treats. Amen. It's called green and credit cards. Amen. They're real happy with you then. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Oh, come on. Just smile. Laugh. Do something. Amen. Don't pucker up. Amen. All right. Listen to this. This is the most amazing portion of Scripture that you can find in the Bible. Listen now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. There's a definite statement there. Verse 4, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, here's a sad statement, comprehended it not. Oh, my goodness. The darkness comprehended it not. I want to talk to you about the dark. I want to talk to you about darkness. There's so many people in darkness today. Their eyes are blinded by the Word of God. Are you listening to me now? The Word of God says man's eyes are blind when you try to tell them about a precious Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of people talk about Jesus Christ. Quite a few people use my Lord and Savior's name and curse word and blasphemy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible right here says that He is the same. He's the Creator. He is the Word that spoke out of, in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, talks ex nihilo, which means out of nothing He created this magnificent your world. I'm glad. I'm glad I have a place that I can call home. I'm glad that we're on planet Earth. It's a beautiful Earth. 75% of it is water, and I like water. Amen. But we have a place that we live in, and we can walk on what they call the terra firma, the ground that we walk on. I'm glad it doesn't fall in, amen. Some places in Florida it does that, amen. Those sinkholes, kind of scary, amen. There it goes, amen. But thank God that we have a God who says that I am. In fact, you go on a little further there in verse 6, it talks about there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And the same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I came up and had a prayer with little Scarlett and her family, and I reminded them that that baby has an eternal soul. It'll live forever. I did the same thing with Tucker and Lauren, their little guy, Theodore. I said, you know, that baby, that little soul of that little baby has will live forever. Live forever. Let me tell you something about all those babies that they're killing, massacring, aborting. That little baby is going to witness someday to that mama that had that abortion, or that daddy that made her have the abortion, or that doctor to kill that little one. They will witness against those people that murdered them. That baby's not dead. He's alive. You ever wonder why Jesus said, he said, my Father beholds all these little ones? You ever wonder why? I think it's getting a lot of those aborted babies. Amen. I also think a lot of those babies that some of you precious ladies and husbands had, the little baby that passed, and you had a miscarriage. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not a miscarriage. It's God taking that baby home, and he'll always be. You'll get to see your babies. Amen. I know some of you had 3, 4, 5. I know my aunt had 5 babies she lost. They're babies. They're not tissue. They're babies. They're part of the human race. Amen. So you would pray for our country that would allow such stupidity and such ignoramuses out there that have taken and then taking their babies and using the tissue. God have mercy on them. That's a baby that they're killing. Amen. Well, the older we get, they say, the more that we want to see, the more light we need. Thank God for cell phones that have a light on them. Amen. How many use your cell phone for a light, flashlight? Man, I do it all the time. Amen. Yeah, I go in the bedroom, it's all dark, I turn the thing on, look around, try not to let mama get up, wake up, amen. Some of you do that in your baby house, at the house, amen. So we love lightness, and so I want to talk to you tonight about the darkness that comprehendeth not God's love for them. How sad. Father, would you do a great work tonight? Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give me enunciation of my words and help people to understand. Lord, help me not to stammer. Help me, Lord, to stand boldly at this holy throne here, this pulpit, and proclaim the word of God tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love lots of light when I read. I like lots of light when I go find things. Here's my systematic way of finding things. If I can't find something, I get a flashlight, and I turn it on, and I look around looking for the thing. You say, but it's daylight. Still, that flashlight sends a beam off that I can see, and maybe places I didn't miss, or I can just see a speck of it. Amen. I want more lights in my garage. I want more lights in my car. On my car. In my car. Amen. I want more lights on my motorcycle. I want more lights in the closet. I want more lights in the basement. Let me tell you something about a poor little boy that life was scarred forever. My mama said, son, go down and get the coal down in the basement. We had a coal room that my daddy'd open up this door and that coal would go right down into the basement. And I'll tell you what, I knew that there's gorillas and alligators and bears and crocodiles. I knew they were down there. And I, little old 4-year-old boy, and we didn't have a light down in that basement. How about that? And go down in that cold old basement, amen. And next to the sump pump, that's where the snakes came out, amen. That was a snake pit, amen. Great big anacondas. My missionary friends had come from Africa and tell about them great big anacondas. Some of those missionaries come out of South America and tell of a huge anaconda, 22, 24 feet long. And I knew that they were there. In my heart and in my mind, they were there, amen. My mama said, honey, she's about 4'11". She said, honey, Sheldon, she said, I never let my favorite little boy, I didn't know I was only son, so I was her favorite little boy. I kind of questioned that a little bit. And she said, son, I wouldn't send you someplace to get hurt. I said, but mama, I know. Will you hold my hand, take me down? She said, no, son, I'm busy cooking up there. Now go down and get me some coal. The year that we moved from that house to over to my grandparents' house, my dad put a light in that house. And I was old enough to carry a gun by then, amen. I must have been getting old for a long time because I love light. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, it didn't evolve. God made it, amen. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Here's the sad thing. And the darkness comprehended it not. There's an incredible statement here in verse 5. The darkness comprehended it not. There's a couple questions I immediately had when I was studying this. Why didn't the darkness comprehend? The Bible tells us if there are things in the Christians do not understand in the Bible, we're supposed to pray. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach us all things and bring all things to remember whatsoever I said unto you. So the job of us Christians, when we're reading the Bible, we ought to say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Will you show me? Let me tell you something. Once you go to God and you ask Him, He promises to give you information. Amen. He promised you to teach the Word of God. Listen, you can go to Him and say, God, I just don't understand this. Listen what the Bible says in James. James said in James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I got some kids. I don't know how to bring them up. Lord, I don't know about you, but boy, I'll tell you what. When my wife and I first had our three boys, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of things I didn't understand. We'd never been down that road before. And then when they became teenagers, we'd never been down that road before. And we had constantly go to God and say, Dear God, you're going to have to help us and teach us how to raise these three boys. Anybody been down that road before? You've ever been down that road before? No, you haven't been down that road before. Man, you got a boy there sitting next to you? Yeah, you got three boys, brother. You've never been down those roads before. Good night. You got Nicholas. You got Zach. Man, I'm telling you, going like, what am I going to do? Now I got a new one. Sister, you ever been down that road before? You got three of them. Hey, Sheldon, have you ever been down the road before being a teenager? Growing up, becoming a real man? Josh, have you been? Hey, Charles, you got a little girl. My goodness, that'll change your life, amen. Hey, brother, what are you going to do with that Scarlet? You ever raised a little girl? They look at you, they melt, Daddy. I've seen it. That's why God never gave me girls. I mean, I can't handle it. Show me a cry. Show me a little tear. I'm done. I'm around my boy. Yes, that did Dad. You say that to a girl. My first granddaughter, I kind of said something kind of loud, you know. Whoa, baby. Hey. Now all I do is just give them credit cards and money. That's all I give, man. What do you want? You want chocolate? I'll give you chocolate. I heard the other day, it says, when your wife's upset, give her chocolate. And if she's still upset, just throw it at her and run. That's a good idea, amen. Now God said, if I lack wisdom, which I do all the time, I am begging God for wisdom. I'm begging God for wisdom how I should pray for people. I'm begging God for wisdom how I should approach some people. I'm begging God for wisdom how I take my care of my wife. I'm begging God for wisdom for the things of my life. I'm constantly begging God for wisdom. God said, listen to me. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Ask him God, and he giveth to man liberty and upbraideth not. It shall be given unto you. God, there's a promise in God's Word, James chapter 1, verse 5. Write it down, put it in the back of your Bible, and when the trouble comes, hey, I had a little girl this morning. She said, I got a brand new Bible. Brother Bob gave me this Bible. I'm so happy and proud of it. She said, but my mama said, don't you dare write in that Bible. I said, well, you better look at the preacher's Bible. I've got notes in my Bible. You know why? Because when I'm reading through, boy, I bring up that brings, the Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre to bring spices, and they had prepared, and certain others with them. I underline that. That speaks to my heart. One time I was reading that Bible, I said, good night, look at that. They prepared those spices for the body of Jesus Christ. You know what? Didn't need them. Jesus rose from the grave. He ain't there. He's living. Go come see the place where he lay. That blessed my heart. You ought to write in your Bible. You ought to put things in the back of your Bible that remind you of things that God has spoke to your heart. You ought to remind you of things that God is working in your heart and your life. Listen, the Bible said Old Testament giving is, for example, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Psalm 109, verse 26, 27, that they may know him. Philippians chapter 2, 20. That's even too much to say. You ought to have some things in your Bible you ought to remember. Or keep a notepad. My problem is I'm always losing a notepad. My wife says, what'd you writing that down so I won't forget? She says, you'll forget where you put it. That's the truth. What a statement. Darkness has no comprehension. Number one, I hate darkness. Darkness hides things. In 1966, I had just flown home for a weekend from playing football in college, and we were sitting around the dinner table. My daddy asked me to go shut in the chickens. Now, I grew up on a farm, so you got to shut the chickens in, amen. You know why you shut the chickens in, don't you? Some neighborhood dog come over and eat your chickens, or some weasel get in and eat the chickens, eat the blood out of them, amen. Or some raccoon come in and have chicken dinner on you, amen, or coyote. And so we shut the chickens in. And so in the excitement of being home, he forgot to tell his loving son that he had installed an electric fence across the path of the chicken coop. Me being a strong, burly fullback, 220 pounds, 6 foot tall, and I could run, brother, I could run. I could run. You see what I mean? I could run. I used to have a chest. Now it's in my drawers. I have a chest of drawers now. Amen. And I used to run. Well, I've never liked the dark, to be honest with you. And so this old football college fullback ran out of the house at a lightning speed, power than a locomotive, jumping the buildings in a single bounce. It's super sheer. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got it a little carried away there. But anyway, and back to the story of the chicken coop. Next thing I remember, I'm rolling around on the ground, dazed, disoriented, bewildered, trying to figure out what in the world hit me. I feel like I'd been tased. My legs from the waist down could not feel anything. I almost had to crawl back to face with a daze on my look at my face. My dad said, what happened? I said, I don't know. He said, oh, I forgot to tell you where I put that fence ladder or that electric fencer up. I don't like darkness. I like to see things when I'm running. But I'm just being a good son, you know, and doing my job, amen. I tore down two poles in the wire. Darkness can really be bad. Our police officers and our detention staff will tell you that they hate darkness. It's in that time that weirdos come out. Darkness kills things. You don't keep a lamp on your plants. They turn yellow and die. One year we thought it would be a great idea. We had, I don't know how many, maybe 50 Easter lilies up here in church. And someone said, Pastor, can we leave them up for Wednesday? I said, sure. I didn't come in the auditorium. I just went up my office. Wednesday night I came up and they're all watered, but they're all yellow. The green, the photosensitive of the green had left them, and they're yeller. I left a piece of plywood a few years ago on my grass for only for a couple days. I'm still having a hard time getting it growing back. Amen. Let's look at the message for a moment. It says that in the beginning, I hope that all the fans of Darwin are listening. The lying evolutionists that believe it took billions of years of this or 4 billion years for that, you're late. God has always been, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah 41, 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. John 3, 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So don't get after your kids when they don't want to sleep in a dark room at night. God has always been the same. He has not changed. The same was in the beginning with God. The same was made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Even good Christian people with good intentions can't see what seems to be going on in the dark. They say, you know, if we could just produce a Bible that everyone could read, both saved and sinner alike, let's put some easy words in the Bible. We just know that the world will be saved. No, that is not going to happen. You forget to read your Bible. The Bible is a spiritual and it's a living book. It is a book that's spiritually discerned. The Bible says in John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. So when you tell me that you're going to write me a Bible that we can all understand, you don't know what you're talking about. This is a spiritual discerned Bible, and if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can't go to the Holy Spirit and say, teach me what it says, Bible, because it won't happen, because the Spirit of God has got to be in you that gives you light to the Word of God. That's why everybody keeps trying to make a new Bible. That old authorized version, that Bible that was authorized to read in all churches back in the 1600s and 1700s, is still the old King James Bible, still works very good. But it is spiritual discerned. The Bible says, you take from my Bible and you add to my Bible, you're going to get the plagues of Egypt. I don't know about you, but I've got enough plagues on myself. I don't need any more. So I'll just read the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen. It's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man, listen now, but the natural man, take it down, look at your Bible, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, but the natural man, that's a man without Jesus Christ. That is, he is not spiritual alive. He has not come to the fact, to the point in his life that he realizes he's a sinner and there's nothing that he can do. It is not by works as any man should boast that saves us. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means that nobody can brag they're in heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. You can't work it up. You can't pump it up. You can't shout it out. You've got to accept Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection on the cross of Jesus, on the cross that Jesus gave you. He died. He rose on the third day. And that's the only way you can get saved, through Jesus Christ. That's why He says, I am Christ, which means the Savior. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. One day, my sister and I were out at on Whiston Lake, and she hadn't learned to swim yet. And Whiston Lake is actually the Tittabawassee River. But they built a great big dam. Whiston, a guy named Whiston, built a great big dam. That's where they got the Whiston Lake. And it was a power dam. It was to make power. And when they did that, they dammed up this riverbed, and not only the riverbed, but it also dammed up a lot of the fields around it. So in Whiston Lake, you can go out maybe 20, 30, 40 feet out, and it's only knee deep, and all of a sudden, down to 40 feet, just like that. A lot of people die in Wixom Lake because of the drop off. It's just straight down. My sister's monkeying around, and I don't know, we're playing chicken or something. So they're on their backs and stuff, and all of a sudden, my sister went down. And she came up just squalling and bawling and coughing and spitting. I grabbed a hold of her some way. I was still on the side of the drop-off, and I pulled her in. My sister would have drowned that day. She needed a savior. A number of years ago, we went up to a place for a husband-wife deal, church deal. And we were, a bunch of us guys went up to this water hole. And there's the waterfalls. I don't know if some of you are there or not. Well, Mitch Dunn jumped. I jumped in. I'm telling you, I come out of there. I almost walked in. The water was so cold. It just come right. Y'all from Montana, you know what cold water is, amen? Brother Tristan knows what cold water is. Brother Rudy, his granddaddy and him, were up at the glacier, and they said, we're going to jump in. I said, don't get in that water. That'll freeze you to death. Pastor Rudy said, listen, Brother C, I know what cold water is. I forget what the Abasapak, Abadabadaba, whatever river that he goes fishing on, you know, in South Carolina. He said, Brother, I know what cold water is. I said, Brother, you shouldn't do that. And he talked old Tristan him into, Brother, let me ask you, was it cold? Brother, I'll tell you what, when Brother Rudy hit that water, he goes, ah! Ah! Well, he talks his grandson in. It's cold, brother. Well, anyway, we were up with a bunch of groups of our families of our church up there, and old Mitch jumped. I jumped in, and I said, man, it's cold. And I got a lot of blubber to take care of me, man. You got that? I mean, it's okay. But my lips started turning blue. It was that cold. And old Mitch, he jumped in and didn't know how to swim, and it was about 14, 15 feet deep, and he went down. And he come up squalling. And I didn't want to get back in, okay? But I didn't, and nobody else elected anybody else to it. So I thought, well, you know, it wouldn't look good me dragging home a dead boy to his mama and daddy. So I went after him. And I went in, and he grabbed me around the neck, and that was it, buddy. He had a hold of me, and he didn't care about nobody. By the way, any drowning man, he doesn't care. He'll grab at anything. And he went down again. I went down after. And so when he got a hold of me, there's a trick you can learn, okay? If somebody ever does that, you just go under. Get your breath and go under. And I had enough breath. I went under. And he finally let go of me. And when he let go of me, I got underneath him. I shoved him up onto the deal. He come up there, and we knew what he ate the day before, amen? And hey, let me tell you something. Nick, that boy would have died. Unless he had a Savior. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. And you know what? Tonight, many are drowning, and they don't have a Savior. They're drowning. They don't have a Savior. They don't know how to get a Savior. They don't know that Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They have not been taught that. They have not been showed that. The Spirit of God has not been given them a chance to get saved. Well, they haven't given the Spirit of God a chance to get saved. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness, the Bible said. They are foolishness on them. Neither can be known them because they are spiritually discerned. So I don't care how simple you make that Bible. You'll never make a Bible that a non-Christian can understand. Because it's spirit deserved. That's why God said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why when you got saved, your business, your job is to tell people about Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that the world does not want the truth. The world does not want the truth. When the great tribulation comes to pass in the last days, look what the Bible says the mankind will be calling out to. They're not calling out to a Savior. They're calling out to the rocks and the mountains. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. Read it. It's what the Bible says. Hey, don't take it from this old preacher. I'm just reporting this stuff. Talk to my boss. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, and it said to the mountain, to the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. That's kind of contrary, isn't it? Wrath of a lamb. You ever seen a lamb come and bite you? All they do is, meh. They're just fuzzy little things, jump up and down. The Bible said, hey, they cried and said, hey, keep us away from Him. First John chapter 1, verse 10, He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Do you ever wonder what in the world's going on in America today? What's wrong with people? The atheist said, it's all God's fault. Hey, atheist, you said there's no God, so what are you talking about? They were wondering why that. They said, why did it happen to our schools? How come God's not there? Because you told him to get out in 1964. Get out. We don't want God in our schools. Well, you're reaping what you sow, stupid. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. God tells us a Christian, as Christians, when we are given the light or see the light, we better make wise use of that light. You better get to salvation when you can, friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored you. Therefore, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is God speaking to you tonight? You've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You never called out for a Savior. God said, you better do it now. Because you don't know if you ever have another chance. One of these days, if this mess continues, and you dismiss the fact that you need a Savior, it's going to be too late for you to find out. Hey, this is not me saying this. This is God. I'm just reporting to you. Paul the Apostle said, Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Has there been a time in your life that you've knelt down and you say, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Has there been a time in your life? I like what Bobby Brown was saying. I thought that was so good. He says, hey, I remember when President Kennedy was shot. How many remember that? When President Kennedy, you weren't even born, some of you. How many of you remember where you were at when 9/11 took place? Where were you at? History class. Where were you at? College, where were you at? 9/11. In Texas, where were you at? Where were you at? You weren't even born yet, were you? Where were you at, Curtis? All right. How many remember when the astronauts were killed? What was that called? Challenger. How many remember Krista McCullough? Oh man, I cried. I wept. I love teachers. And how much fun she was having all of a sudden. My dad was coming out of Kmart in Orlando, Florida, and he saw this. He said, well, there it goes. And then all of a sudden he says, man, that was weird. He said, I've never seen anything like that before. They walked in and backed into Kmart and they said that the Challenger had exploded. We don't forget those times, do we? You should not forget the time you received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I was a 14-year-old boy sitting clear in the back seat of that old Southside Baptist Church in East Lansing, Michigan. I felt Jesus Christ as I never felt Him before, and accepted. I ran down that aisle, accepted Jesus my Savior. I never forgot that day. And if you have a time in your life you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you'll not forget that day either. And if you don't know that day, then it might be a good idea that you find the day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Do you remember the day you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? I don't mean when you said a bunch of words to maybe a pastor or to a place of people. I mean, when you personally received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and He became your Savior. Acts chapter 17, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from one. Have you ever been without a light? Have you ever been through a storm and the lights go out? You couldn't find a flashlight? That worked. You finally find a match? And I'll tell you, as fast as you can, before it burns your finger, you light that match and you go looking for a flashlight or you look for a candle. I have matches in my office. I used to have them up here, and they're gone because some arsonist took them and probably burned something else out in our church. But anyway, used to have them up here. But we don't need that anymore because this is what we did one Sunday. How many were here the Sunday that the lights went out? And this is what happened. Everybody, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everybody took it out. And then I said, okay, turn them off. And then everybody has a Bible on your phone. Turn your Bible on. How many can do that tonight? Yeah. We don't need the matches anymore. I've got a candle from Nepal. They make the greatest candles in the world. I believe they do. They're really hard wax, and they'll burn and burn. I got one right in my office. I've used it a number of times in my office because the lights went off. I just light the match, and there it is. Boy, we all like light. Amen? What makes you think? The Bible says, while ye have light, believe in that light, that ye may be a children of light. What makes you think when Jesus Christ comes back that it's going to be okay if you don't have Him as your Savior? What makes you think that you're going to get away with the things that God told you that's going to happen? You need to accept Him as your Savior. The Greek word for comprehend is katalambano. It means first of all, picture in your mind, it's very dark. And you want something, and you can't find it. You can't comprehend it. To comprehend means to take the question is, can you, if in the dark, find it? And you'd have to say, no. Now, there are some people that are trained, some people that are blind, that they can see things, that kind of have in their mind to visualize some way in their mystical visualization that they can. There's things that they left that they can find. They bump over things, look after it. They set their plate the same way, their food, and they ask the person, what is that 3 o'clock? What is that 12 o'clock? What is it 6 o'clock? What is it 9 o'clock? And they can eat their food that way. But still, if you cannot see something, you cannot comprehend, can you imagine? Here, this is the world. The world does not comprehend what salvation is. How sad. They go through life. By the way, life is tough. Have you found that out? Have you found out that life is tough? Think of a man, for instance, in the Bible, there was a man, there was a rich man that died. And the Bible says he had everything. He had garments. He had everything. Everything was perfect for him. Seemed like, quote unquote, in life. But he died, and the Bible said, what did he do? He was in hell. And when we find him in hell, he's in great torment. He said, don't let my brother, 5 brothers come here. Please send Lazarus back and tell. What did he do? He did not comprehend that he was going to a place that God said he was going to go to. Here's a rich man. He had everything. Life was good. He got in trouble. He paid it off. He needs the food. He went and bought some. Everything's good for the guy. But at the end of it all, he went where? To hell. And the Bible says he was in great torment. I've always wondered about this. Have you ever seen the down and out guys? They're always poor. They're always begging. They're always trying to get something in life. And it seems like every time they get something in life, some dog eats it or something breaks, or the car that the old beat up car used to, you know, that they have, it breaks, or somebody takes it, or some. You ever notice people like that? They live in down and out. They live under what we call the cross of tracks. We see people, the drunkard, he has nothing. He drinks everything he has. You've seen them. I've seen them. By the way, I pity them. I feel sorry for them. God has blessed me many ways. And I see these people that just seem like to just, you know, one man said God made enough poor people so that we could help them. So we had a chance to help them. You've seen the poor people. Not everybody gets to eat the golden crow where you work and where you work and come into that great feast. You name it, it's there. I'm from great big old shrimp to steak to fried chicken. They had fat back today. I'm telling you what, old Trish and I thought we'd died, went to heaven today. I showed it to you there. It was a corn stuff. Come on, help me. Tristan, help me. Grits. They had grits, sir. And they had gravy next to them. Brown gravy. Ha! Sawmill gravy. I mean to tell you, brother. Let me tell you something. Not everybody can eat where you serve and work. There's a lot of people who can't do that. You know what the sad thing about it is? Those people that have lost babies and lost family and have drug addictions that are just going through hell on earth here. Their marriages break up. Their families are splintered. There's alcohol. There's drugs. There's all kinds of trouble. They're always running from the law. They all got warrants. They're just waiting for the next time they get stopped. They're going to be thrown in the corrections and the slammer. They have nothing. Let me tell you something. That rich man that had everything in life, everything that money could buy, he had a clean home, he had good clothes, he had everything. He had servants. He died and went to hell. And there the Bible says he was in great torment. Oh, Jesus. Has old Lazarus stick his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue from it. Torment. That man had it pretty good all his life. Here's a sad thing, folks. There are people, the down and outers. People have nothing in this world. The people that are health wise, just nothing. Everything has gone bad for them. Guess what? If they do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to hell too. With all the trouble, with all the heartaches, with all the sorrows of life, they too are going to burn next to the rich man. I saw a picture the other day on Facebook. It was a beautiful house and a rundown house. And under that beautiful house, there was a grave. And underneath the rundown house, there was the same grave. And I don't care how good you had it in this world, or how care you had how bad you had it in this world. Let me tell you something. You don't go to heaven because you're poor. And just because you're rich doesn't mean you can't go to heaven. It's what you did with the God of lights, the Savior. I feel so sorry when I see people so down and out. The people that our friends the Wanzers were ministering to in the Philippines, they live in the cemeteries. They've had it so terrible. Do you know why those people in Asia eat at night? Because they worked all day to get enough money to go to the little store and buy some food. You've seen it in Nepal. Those dear people that over in Nepal and Tibet, people that have nothing. If they don't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be in the same fix as the rich man was in hell. Begging, but nobody can save them. So that's why our job as a Christians, that's where my job and your job is to do the business of Jesus Christ. Tell them that the Savior waits for them and the Savior will save them. All the troubles and sorrows these people are going to go through. See, they can't comprehend. They have been blinded. Some do not want to hear it. You met them. Sir, I would like to give you a story that will tell you how to get to heaven. I don't want it. Sir, could I talk? Would you take that? Give me that. I'll tell you what I think about that. I don't want it. Get out of my way. Get out of my face. Who do you think you are, you religious puke? Sorry. They do that to your daddy. They do that to us when we tell people. I had a vulgar phone call a year ago because some of you Baptist nuts were putting your bus flyers on his door. By the way, sir, that is not illegal. I tell my soul winners, if it says no soliciting, they've chosen. I'll tell you what, he'll remember that day he called me on my phone at Heritage Baptist Church and cursed me out and called our people every name in the book for doing what God told him to. He'll remember that. In hell. Now, folks, let me tell you something. It's worth listening to me now. Listen to me. The Bible says the world comprehendeth it not. The darkness comprehendeth not. The darkness can't get it. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And if you invite him tonight as your personal Savior, not for what you've done, not what your parents done, not what your pastor did, not what your church did, but Jesus Christ alone, you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. That's not too hard to figure that one out. How many think you're a sinner here tonight? How many sins? Yeah, that's no hands barred, amen? Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. There's no question about it. Yeah. In fact, I've pastored here long enough to know that all you're sinners too. You're dirty, rotten sinners. And I've pastored here long enough, you know that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. But I'm saved by grace. I'm saved to the uttermost because Jesus Christ saved me. I did what he told me to do, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. I did it when I was 14 years old. I don't have to do it again. I'm a son. I'll always be a son. I got an inheritance in heaven, and I've got a place waiting for me all there. All I got to do is just get through this junk until he takes me home. The darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding. The light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No night, no need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light of the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. What are you waiting for? Ask for the light. Ask for the light. And He'll turn it on. Ask for the light. And there He is. You just ask for it. And He desires, He pleads that you'll come to the light. If you're here tonight and you do not know the light of the world, why don't you ask Him to come in your heart? Why don't you say, God, I've been in darkness all this time. I want the light. Because one of these days, you know what's going to happen one of these days? One of these days, the light's going to go out. And you'll have no hope. That's why the darkness cannot comprehend it. They cannot see. Because the light of the world is Jesus. And they don't want Jesus. They're afraid if they find Jesus and they ask Jesus in their heart, that it'll be too hard for them. Are you kidding me? The easiest thing in the world would be a Christian. Who can take it? You know, Jesus said, hey, don't fear the man that can take your life. Fear the man that can take your soul. Don't fear someone can hurt you and pound you. He said, you fear the one that take the soul. You fear the one take the light away. And that's Jesus. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad that the victory's already won. We just got to go through this stuff. The troubles and heartaches, the sorrows that we're going through right now. Every one of you have gone through some kind of junk. Matthew was just telling me he was a Marine for 6 years and couldn't keep going because he got a back issue and he had to get out of the Marines. I want you to know, brother, you'll always be a Marine. You'll always be a Marine. You'll always be a Marine. Some of you, certain things in life you just can't do. Well, you know why? Yeah. Some of you got sickness, and some of you got troubles, and some of you got, you don't know what's going on in your life, and you got some real problems, and you don't know what you don't know if it'll ever be healed. You don't know if it'll ever be, you know. Hey, you know what? Don't sweat it. God is on your side. See some of our children here that got some pretty rough stuff in life. See some of us that have our loved one that is not the way it used to be. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. I think of Brother Rudy Smith's, Tristan's grandma. I think of Mary. What a sweet lady. But all of a sudden, her life 19 years ago changed. In a heartbeat. She's not fair. Hey, he's just getting closer to heaven. Just getting us closer to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord. If there's anyone here tonight that is still in darkness, Lord, they say, call for the light. God, give me the light. There's people here today that are going through and it's pretty dark. Things are hard. Lord, have them call for the light. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the promise of a Savior who's personal to us. Father, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's never been, Brother Andy. Brother Andy. There's never been a time in my life that I have come to Christ and personally invited Him to come to be my Savior. I've said a lot of words. I've promised a lot of things in church. I've done this. I've done that. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed or catechized or whatever. There's some things in my life. I want to be religious. But there's never been a time that I can remember that day that I looked up to a holy God in heaven and said, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior today. You're here tonight. Hey, why don't you right now? Why don't you get rid of that darkness and come to the light? Why don't you right now say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Sure, I'll pray it once more. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe you died on a cross and rose on the third day. I personally ask you to be my Savior. I want to come out of the darkness and come to the light. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I just prayed that. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm going to trust Jesus in this thing. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to be like the songwriter that wrote, I'm going to prove Him o'er and o'er. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here tonight and say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life that I'm having some difficulty with. I need God to be with my heart and my life and help me. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and trust Christ your Savior today? Why don't you here today come down and say, Lord, I need your light. I need that light to shine in my heart and my life. Why don't you come? I'll tell you what, the world is full of darkness. Your only hope, you're the only hope for some people that'll ever have. And they'll see your life and your light so shine. You know, the Bible says, in the darkness, in the darkest of hour, a small little light shines. People says, you know what? They got something. There's something just about them. Don't hide your light. Shed your light abroad. Don't put your light under a bushel basket. Let's be that shining white city of light that man can see the difference between the dark world and the world of light. People are perishing tonight. There's some people that going through such darkness. And they'll just die. Go to hell. They've had troubles all their life. And they're going to split hell wide open. What a sad, sad deal. They've been blinded by the world. Blinded by false religions. Blinded by religious people that said, if you just do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, you may have a chance. Buddha said, at his dying, he said, his worshipers were around him, and he said, they asked him, and he said, it's up to you. You have to find your own nirvana. Boy, what a terrible thing for a religious leader to tell his people. I hope you have the answer. And I'll tell you who the answer is, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to be able to see the light. I feel so sad for those who comprehend not. They don't get it. Can't figure it out. They're blinded. Their parents, their grandparents, their religiosity have blinded their eyes to the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. It is free. It is so simple. Trust the Lord with all your heart. God said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, period. That's it. Lord, help us to find those in darkness and show them the light. And all God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless his food now as we go over to building number 2. Bless our fellowship. Thank you for loving us. Give us a great week as we tell others the light. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.